Today's scripture readings, there are two. They're a little bit long. They are part of the lectionary scripture passages for this week. But both of them have a common theme, and they really run together through the way that the stories are told. The first one is a story about the prophet Elijah, Old Testament prophet from early Israel. Elijah was a prophet who was known to have proclaimed the efficacy and the power of God, and doing so in battling with the prophets of the god Baal. So it was really two groups of prophets who were trying to acknowledge and to lift up their God as the primary God, the God of all creation. And so that was a big portion of Elijah's life. And then the other part of Elijah's life was in confronting King Ahab, who was a king of Israel who was evil in the sight of God and doing things that were hurting the people. And so Elijah was the one who was called to bring that powerful, confrontational, prophetic word to King Ahab. And so in the passage, he is walking with his disciple Elisha, and it is clear at that moment that Elijah is getting ready to leave. They know together that Elijah has come to the end of his journey, and so Elisha is feeling a great deal of mourning about that, wants to stay near to Elijah before he will leave. But it's clear that that time is coming. And so as he is staying near to him in every moment, wanting to hang on every word, he was a disciple of Elijah's and someone who continued to work with him and wanted to follow him. But as they came to that moment, he recognized that Elijah was going to leave him. And so every time Elijah tried to move away and go on to the next part of his journey, Elisha stayed with him wherever he went. And as it came time for that point where he would go away, Elijah asked Elisha, "What is it that you would have me do for you?" And in a moment of a great heartfelt feeling, but also in a moment of clarity, realizing that his desire is to carry on the ministry of Elijah, he says, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." It's a way for him to say, "What you have done through your prophetic work, I desire to carry on. And so if you would bless me, if you would anoint me as a prophet, I will carry on this work even after you are gone." And Elijah says, "If you see me going up in the whirlwind, then you will know that God's promises will be true for you." And as they are walking, he takes the mantle that he's holding on and he puts it into the Jordan River, and the river splits so that they might walk across on dry land. And so as they're walking, they continue on. Elijah is drawn up and he drops the mantle. And Elisha sees the mantle, he picks it up, and he realizes that this is an affirmation that what he had asked was coming true. So he took the mantle, and he put it into the Jordan River, and it did the same thing. It split open wide for him so that he might cross over. It was a holy moment for Elisha because he knew that what he had asked was coming true, that he had lost someone that he had loved so very much, someone who had been a mentor and a leader for him. But he knew as well that he had been given a powerful ministry from that moment, that he was to carry that mantle forward and to carry the work of Elijah. It was a holy moment for Elisha to feel that sense that somehow God had blessed him in that moment and said, "You are to carry on the work of Elijah." Now that ties itself into the passage called the Transfiguration of Jesus in the Gospel of St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples go up to a mountain to pray. And while they're up on this mountain, Jesus' countenance is transformed. His clothes become a bright white. And as they are looking at Jesus, they see Jesus standing there. But then they see two other figures, one Moses and the other one is Elijah. And as the disciples hear these words coming down from heaven, acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God, they realize in looking at this vision that they are not only seeing Jesus for who he is and feel the holiness of that moment, but they also are seeing what Jesus' ministry is intended to be. As he is standing there with Moses, they realize that Jesus is carrying on the tradition of Moses, that he would be one who would be a liberator of the oppressed. As they see Elijah, they see the prophetic tradition, and they see a man who was able to carry the ministry to the powerful and the proud, and realizing that that is also what Jesus is called to do as well as in his life. Two stories tied together by the presence of Elijah, but two stories also tied together by their theme, because they remind us that there are those times and spaces in our lives, those holy moments where we come to experience the fullness of the presence of God. Sometimes those moments, they pass by very quickly and very fleetingly, but in many instances, they are those transfiguration moments where we are able to, in that moment, be able to say, I see God clearly in this moment and know where God is calling me. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I have a sense of my identity. I know my purpose. I understand my call. I know who it is that God has created me to be and why I'm here. As we hold on to those moments, we recognize how important they are for us. And so the question I wanted to ask you is, what is your transfiguration moment? What was the moment of clarity for you when you felt that sense that God was with you, that you felt the sense that God had ordained you to be in that moment, that God had blessed you in a powerful way that enabled you to know that you belong to God and that God had chosen you to be one who would carry on the love of Christ in the world? What do those moments look like for you? Have you had those moments? I think that sometimes we think of it in the references to the passage. We want to go up to the high mountain and hope that God will make God's self known to us. And we all have those moments. We all wish that God would come to us like that. And maybe it is, though, that God is coming to us in sometimes those profound moments that make themselves known in our daily lives. Maybe your transfiguration moment happened when you were standing up at the altar and looked into the eyes of someone who you knew was meant for you. And that as you looked at one another, you realized that God had gifted you with someone who was of one heart and one mind and one soul. And realized in that holy moment that God is breaking in and God is making God's self known. As you look at that person and realize that you are gifts to each other, you feel that sense that somehow God is breaking into that moment and you feel the presence and the power of God. Maybe it is for you that it was the first time you held your own child. And you looked into this child's eyes and you said to yourself, this is a gift from God. And as you look at the child, you realize in that moment of transfiguration that you are seeing the very presence of a creative God there in your arms. And you hold on to that moment and you ask God, you convey to God a deep heart of thanksgiving. You feel a sense of joy. And you know that somehow in that moment, God has given to you a precious gift. Maybe your transfiguration moment is sitting at the bedside of someone who's preparing, like Elijah, to pass from this life into the life to come. You're filled with a sense of sadness because you know that you love this person so very much. And yet, as you hold their hand, you realize that you are in a holy moment. That as you hold that person's hand, as you look into their eyes, as you see their breathing, as you're able to share a word, that you realize in that moment that though you are preparing yourself to lose someone that you love so very much, you realize as well the holiness of that one moment and realize that God is making God's self known to us in the very inbreaking of God in that particular moment. And it is in that moment that we feel a sense of awe and wonder. But those are the kinds of moments, they define us. They help us to know who we are and whose we are. They help us to know why we are here and what God has called us to do in our lives. Now, in many ways, as I'm describing these transfiguration moments like this, there are the kinds of moments that fill us with a great deal of joy and wonder and hope in that moment. But then we go back to our daily lives and we do the things that we are doing. We stay busy. We have lots going on. We're moving place to place and we're continually filled with stress. And sometimes we allow those moments to slip back into our memory. And what I want to suggest today is that the transfiguration story lifts those stories up again for us and reminds us how very important they are. Because what we know as well is that sometimes those transfiguration moments, they are the only thing that we have. Because every person who is a parent will tell you that in that moment that you're holding the child and you look and you see this great gift from God, you also know from that moment on, your life is going to be filled with great ups and great downs. great trials and great struggles. There are going to be times when this child will cause you great heartache. And there will be moments where you will struggle each day asking yourself the question, how is it that I might live together with this child, this one who God gave to me as a gift and gave to the world as a gift? How is it that I'm going to continue to live into that promise? And in those moments of trial and struggle as a parent, go back to the day that you held that child in your arms for the very first time. And as a parent, you'll know that you'll be able to make it through whatever happens in your life. You remember that moment that you looked across at the person who was on that aisle with you as you were getting married and realized from that moment on, you declare your love for that person who is of one heart and mind and spirit to you, and then you go and you realize that marriage is hard work. And the reality is that there are going to be times when we'll struggle to make it through. We'll have doubts and fears and challenges and changes, transitions that will happen through every stage of our life. And sometimes it's only being able to go back to that original moment when you proclaimed your love for each other that holds you through all of the challenges and the changes of this life. Maybe it is that your transfiguration moment is the moment that you were baptized in the church. And you go and you give thanks for the ways that God blesses you through the gift of water, and you are able to affirm that you are a child of God. And then you go down from the altar and you get back into the church life and you realize being a Christian in this world, it's a difficult thing. And there are times that you want to just throw it all away. But then you remember the covenant you made at your baptism. And you say to yourself, my church is struggling, but I'm going to stay with it. I have doubts in my faith and fears, but I'm going to keep on. And it's because you remember the holiness of that transfiguration moment that holds you together through all of the challenges and changes of this life. And so what I want to suggest for us today, and what the passage I think is pointing us to, is how do we find ways to stay locked into those transfiguration moments so that whenever we experience those moments of trial and tribulation, that those transfiguration moments, they will hold us. They will enable us to continue on, to feel a sense that God is still with us, even in those times that we are struggling. I've told you this story before, but my mother-in-law is a very interesting woman. My father-in-law, who I never met, died in 1978. And he was a very young man. He was 59 years old, died of a heart condition. And from that moment on, she has done what lots of Japanese Buddhists do. She created a little area in the home where she puts his picture. In the Buddhist tradition, it's called a butsudan, and it's put up in the house. And every day, you're supposed to offer a thanksgiving and a special offering. My mother-in-law is a Christian, and so she didn't want to have a butsudan in her house, and so she created this little corner of the house. It's a little alcove in the corner, and his picture is there. It's been there since 1978, and every single day, she pours him a cup of coffee and puts it on the picture. And she sits there and pauses for a moment. And this is a house with four children and many grandchildren. There's lots of noise going on. She's standing there all by herself, and she pours this cup of coffee for him. And she pauses in a moment of silence. And I know, she never prays out loud, but I know that her prayer is one of thanksgiving. Now, I'm imagining that prayer must have been very difficult after he died. And yet she has done that every single day. And it's because she remembers the transfiguration moment when they gave themselves to one another in marriage and all that they went through the birth of their children. And so she does that every single day to enable her to live back into that transfiguration moment. And so what I want to suggest is that we all can do the very same things. That when you see somebody coming up for baptism here in the church, my prayer is that you will remember your baptism and find a way to be thankful for that. This last year, I was at ordination service in the California Pacific Annual Conference where I grew up. The United Methodist Church were broken into conferences. I wasn't a part of this conference, but grew up in California Annual Conference. And I went to go see a friend who was being ordained. He was being commissioned in the United Methodist Church. I haven't been back to that annual conference for 8 years. So I walked into what is the University of Redlands. It's a big chapel. I walk into this chapel, and I sit down, and I'm watching this ordination service happen, and I start crying. And somebody who was sitting near to me said, I didn't know you liked your friend that much. You know, I was like, well. But the reason why I started crying was because it reminded me of my ordination as a United Methodist pastor. I hadn't been there for 8 years, and so it didn't really even occur to me that I had missed it. And so when I went for the worship service, I stood up and I started to sing, and they started processing down the aisle with the bishop and the members of the Board of Ordained Ministry, and I began to weep because it reminded me of where I am and how I got here and the ways in which God worked in me through this process of ordination in the United Methodist Church. That was a transfiguration moment for me. And so what I want to suggest to all of us is finding ways to go back to that, to find in your life experience the ability to go back to the transfiguration moment, because that's the moment that formed and shaped you into the person that you are. That's the thing that gave you a sense of identity, a feeling of purpose, an ability to be hopeful, ability to dream great dreams about yourself and about your family and about your church and about your community. Remember those moments, because those transfiguration moments are so powerful in our lives. I don't think we always realize how powerful those moments are, but when we stop for a moment and pause, we realize how powerful those moments are and how much they have shaped us into the people that we are. I remember sitting with my father before he was dying, and I was holding his hand, and it was such an interesting thing because his hand, I've talked about this before, how the inside of his hand was very soft and the outside of his hand was very hard. He was a truck driver, and so he had very rough hands on the outside, but the inside of his hands were very soft. And so while we were sitting there, he was in a coma, and I knew we were going to lose him, so I was holding his hand, and I recognized the holiness of that moment, and his hands so represented for me our life together as father and son. There were ways that my father was a hard man, and I was not the easiest child to live with. I've told you that story before. So in lots of ways, there were ways that the rough side of his hands represented the disciplinarian that he was and the lessons that he taught me, sometimes that were very, very difficult. But the inside of his hand reminded me how much he loved me. Now, he never said it. That wasn't his way. But the inside of his hands reminded me how soft he was in so many ways. He was a man of great heart, but didn't always show it. He was a Nisei, and so he's a second-generation Japanese-American. He didn't always show it. But the inside of his hands reminded me of the gift of his love. And so I remember those stories, and they give me a sense of fulfillment. They make me cry when I tell them. But at the same time, I realize that those moments have defined me as a person. And so I remember them in my life. And so what I want to suggest to all of you today is remember those transfiguration moments. As you go from here, think about it a little bit. What's your transfiguration moment? They're not always moments of great joy. Sometimes they are moments of deep sorrow. And yet, even in that, God breaks through to speak a word of life to us. And so my prayer this day is that you would allow yourself to experience those once again and give thanks that as God makes God's self known in a vision on a mountaintop, as God makes God's self known through Elijah and through Elisha, God makes God's self known to you right where you are in the experiences of your everyday life, and that God is right there with you as you find yourself immersed in God's spirit that's all around you, and that as God blesses you and touches you, open up your heart and fill up allow yourself to be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving to God, that God broke into your life and spoke to you a word, and that that word brought clarity, brought you a sense of identity, brought you a sense of purpose, brought you a sense of fullness, and brought you as well a sense of direction to help you to know where you have been called and how God will use you in this life. My prayer for all of you is that you would go from this place and remember those moments and give thanks to God. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we're grateful and thankful for the transfiguration moments that we have read in Scripture this day. As we remember the story of Elisha and Elijah, as we remember the story of the disciples and Jesus going up to the high mountaintop to pray, we know, O God, that you have given to us transfiguration moments as well. There are so many ways, O God, that those moments get lost in the stresses and struggles of everyday life. But you remind us this day to pause for a moment and to remember those stories that make us who we are. And our prayer this day, O God, is that we might in those holy moments feel a sense that you are breaking into our lives, that you have given to us those moments so that we might be able to know that you are very much with us, that you continue to lead and guide us in this life. You continue to inspire us and challenge us. You continue to shape us every single day. And so we pray, oh God, that you would enable us to experience that once again as we pause throughout this day and throughout this week. Remind us again of those transfiguration moments and allow us, oh God, always to give you thanks. We pray, oh God, that you would continue to allow that spirit to flow inside of us. And we would pray that you would allow that spirit to flow through us as well as we seek to be your beloved in the world, and to live as you have called us to live, disciples of Jesus Christ, doing so always, O God, not just to experience a blessing, but to be a blessing for others and for the world. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.